Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Welcome back to Nighttime Talk with Gary Brennan in for Niall Boylan. Now, we've got a great topic ahead of us right now. Loads of callers already. Have Ireland's drinking habits changed? Now, we're well known as a nation of drinkers, so it's not surprising to see the latest figures from Drink Aware, which state that 60% of people drink weekly. But what is surprising is the change in drinking habits. According to the recent study, drinking at home alone is now the most common drinking occasion, with a quarter of adults admitting to binge drinking regularly. So this just tells me that people are drinking as much as they used to, but are doing it at home rather than going out. The whole culture around drinking has changed in Ireland, and I don't know if that's a good thing, to be honest. Gone are the days of going out drinking in pubs and clubs, which could spell the end of the Irish pub. Whether that's caused by the cost of living and extortionate VAT rates, which we touched on earlier on talking to Patrick Tobin from AIM2, they're one of the highest in Europe, or is it a change of habit since lockdown, or is it a safety issue? Interestingly, despite the fact that 59% of adults admit to drinking weekly, 37% want to cut down. So I want to know, what do you think about this? Do you drink regularly? Would you like to drink less? Have your habits changed since lockdown? Does the cost of living affect your choices? And do you know what healthy drinking habits are, according to the HSE? That's an old nugget, isn't it? People are always surprised at what binge drinking actually is. WhatsApp us on 087-188-0008 and let me know your thoughts. Jessica, I have you here. What do you think of this? Have Ireland's drinking habits changed? What do you think?
I don't know. Like, I haven't been in a pub in, gosh, months anyway. I don't really like the pubs. I don't really like them. Clubs, I don't like either. I'm probably just getting older now. But I just prefer to just, you know, have a few quiet ones at home, or just have my mates up at the weekend if I'm off, and we just all have a bit of a house party, really. Nothing mad. Like, we just all relax. And it's much cheaper, like you said. Like, you don't have to worry about getting taxis home because your mates can just stay with you. You don't have to be worried about standing in the cold waiting for your taxi, freezing your skin off. And it's not extortionate because, like, you know yourself, especially with clubs, you pay, like, most of the time you pay entrance, which is extortionate in and of itself, and then they give you watered down, extortionate priced drinks. Like, it's ridiculous.
Allegedly, like, Jessica, allegedly.
I can taste it.
And so you drink at home and you have a little party and whatever, you have a few friends over. Do you ever drink on your own at home?
No, I wouldn't really drink on my own. Now, if I fancied one on my own, I'd pour it out and watch something on my telly, just to relax. But I wouldn't really drink alone.
But there's no stigma to it. Like, you wouldn't not do it. You wouldn't say, "Oh, I'm on my own. I'm not drinking on my own." Like, you'd have a drink.
I wouldn't say it's a bad thing to do. I just prefer to kind of have my mates around with me.
And do you find you drink less as you get older?
Yeah, when I first started drinking, 18, 19, that's when I first started going out.
Yeah.
I was looking for every excuse to go out at the weekend or any excuse to go out on the piss, as they say. But now I'm just I look at town, I look at people on nights out, and a few times I'm out at late at night, and I'm just oh, what are you doing to yourself? You're going to be moaning of a hangover. You're going to be moaning that you have no money.
I hear you. Yeah, no, because it is expensive. And I've noticed people's drinking habits change. I was a barman for donkey's years, about 15 years, back in the, I suppose, late 90s, noughties. And I saw a change even back then. Things were changing. The smoking ban came in. And, of course, drink driving became a total no-no. It was always no, but the last generation that probably would have thought that it's okay to have a couple of pints and drive up to the house, they stopped coming in as well. So everything sort of kind of came around one sort of thing where people started going out less. Also, you know, TV matches, the football used to be on and people used to have to go to the pub because they didn't have subscriptions to the cable and all that kind of stuff. So there's a million reasons why.
But Gary, that would be my only reason for going to a pub. The only reason I would actually drag myself out, if I'm able to, obviously if I'm not stuck at work, if I'm able to, I'll go watch the Liverpool matches.
You go and watch a match. But you could still watch it at home if you wanted. You could still watch it at home if you wanted. You just to have the people around you.
I'm not paying that amount for Sky just for one team.
Ah, there you go, you see. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But if you had it at home, would you just watch it at home and not bother?
If I had it at home, yeah, but I'm not paying that kind of extortionate amount just to watch one team play, like.
Do you think, Jessica, that Irish people have a toxic relationship with alcohol?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, it's our stereotype, isn't it? Like, if you ask a random American, like, oh, what are the Irish known for? Immediately they're going to say, the booze.
Yeah.
Booze and green and leprechauns. That's our stereotype, the other way. And then, you see the way people behave then as well, like, Irish people away abroad, like, on the lash, drunk out of their minds. And then you wonder why people think that we're dependent on alcohol. But we kind of put that reputation on ourselves, and we didn't really do anything to help it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny, you know, people always say that, like, oh, Americans think we're all drunk, you know, and then the first thing we do is we give them a pint when they come here, and they're like, oh, let's get locked or whatever. Stay with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so we're hypocrites. The first thing we do is, oh, you're off the plane from America. The Guinness Storehouse is right down that way.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Our number one tourist attraction is a beer factory. Stay with me, Jessica. I've got Brian here. And Brian, you do more drinking at home, you say?
Well, geez, I'm at that age. But, I mean, just on the point of Americans looking at us that way, I mean, look at Prohibition. Organized crime came out to bring it back. You know, so they can...
Back in the 20s. You're not that old, Brian. You don't remember the 1920s.
Not that old, but I've seen the movies and I know history.
So what do you mean you're at that age? You don't want to go to the pub. You don't need the fuss. You just rather the ease of sitting on your own couch and having a drink.
No, I'd love to be able to go down to a pub with people my own age. But what's happening now is they're not there anymore. You know, like the old man pubs, as they call them. Nice and quiet. Watch the football with no idiots shouting, no young lads. They're gone. Now they're infested with young lads because they can't afford that mess. But they drag them in, put them out the back somewhere, away from the likes of my age, and there's a party out the back, there's bedlam, going up and in and out and through. It's a mix and it's a mess. And what young lads are doing now is they're bringing in booze into pubs, drinking it, second off, having house parties, and no one can tell. There's no control environment once they're gone. And you have no old lad to step in or father here to step in and say, hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. You're out of order.
So they're bringing their own drink in and hiding it under the table.
You know they are. And then they're going in buying their couple of pints off to no nightclubs anymore where I'm living. I think there's one half a nightclub, I'm not even sure. Still no control of us. So the nightclub now is private parties with kids unsupervised. And it's a mess. And it's the same amount of alcohol drank in this country from what I can see.
Have you seen plenty of changes in your life, Brian, in the relationship we have to alcohol in this country?
In my life? No, it's been pretty static. So, grew up as a normal teenager, going out on weekends, getting pissed, going to work all week, getting pissed the weekends. This went down for, what, the 30s, 40s. My own business now, more simple. I'm happy at home. Happy to watch the match at home, but I would like to be able to afford to go out, like your previous caller said.
Yeah.
To go out and have a pint to watch. Well, never get to see my team, not even in the Premiership. But to be able to afford it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not their fault. I mean, there's an agenda against the pub culture, and especially the country pub culture. It's taxed for a reason. The agenda that I don't understand, are they trying to make this into France, or we sip wine and eat little crackers on the side of the second street, or I don't know what, but there's definite agenda, and pubs are being closed down, driven out of business, and it's backfiring. And nobody's talking about it because it's backfiring underground. to the same amount of alcohol drank in this country.
It's a tough business. My dad was a publican and I worked in pubs, yeah. as I say. And back then, when I was leaving college, I did journalism in college and I was thinking to myself, I might go into the family business. I mean, my dad had bars and he didn't want me to go into the business because he thought that it was going to change. He could see forward. He was like, it's not the game it used to be. But there was a time in this country, if you had access to owning a pub, you were pretty much a made man or woman, weren't you? It was a good, solid yeah. business. Those days are long gone.
Look, don't get me wrong. Alcohol is the worst drug on the planet. Kills more people. I'm not going to get into any other drug, but alcohol is the leading killer of drugs in the world. And it is a drug. The social side of it for Ireland. I mean, revolutions were planned in pubs in this country. It's kind of a culture, you know.
And that's changing, Brian, isn't it? Side,
we play music, we play, you know, it's coming together of communities. It's an age-old thing. And it's like it's just been, to me, it feels like it's been, within the space of a decade, it's just been cut.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Stay there, Brian, because I've got Maurice just joined us there. Maurice, you don't like seeing drunkenness on the street?
No, I think it's, I was telling one of your researchers there, I didn't, you know, you could see different people at different stages of life. But I was out one day in Dublin 7 area, and I seen a lady coming out of a shop, and she sat down in the bus shelter, and she opened her bag and started drinking a can at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And what's going on in that woman's life? That she's a mother, she's a sister, she's probably a granny, and all she could do, what's available to her is to sit down in a bus shelter and have a can of beer. It just makes me feel, God love that woman if that's all she has going on in her life. So, you know, you see drunkenness all over the place, people sitting around, people that live on the streets drinking. I blame the government, to be honest with you, because they've made alcohol so cheap and then they bring in rules to try and penalise people. And they realise, well, fuck it, I can get a train up to Belfast or Newry and buy a load of beer and bring it back down and drink it to my heart's content. So well,
wasn't that the max? The minimum unit pricing was brought in to sort of have a look at that. And it hasn't really
exactly.
worked, do you think, Maurice, has it?
No, it hasn't. No, it's made it worse. It's made it worse. Do you think they can... you know, financially impede people and saying, well, we put this price on it forever, blah, blah, blah. But if you go into an off-license now, should the beer is for nothing. You know, you can buy a can with a gin and tonic in it for $1.49 in one of the local stores up here in Blanchardstown.
And do you drink yourself?
Oh, I do. I was telling the researcher, I had my first drink when I was 13 years of age. And that was 50 years ago. I'm 63 now. But, like, it's not something that I enjoy a drink because I work hard and I play hard. And it doesn't bother me that I like to do something. Like, I'm not shooting something into my arm. I'm not putting something up my nose. I like a drink. And that's it. End of story.
And it never got out of hand for you, Maurice?
No, never. And I'm ex-army and I come from a big family and none of my family members have had problems with drink. I was just looking at somebody there online who's an independent in the local election, and she's lost two of her siblings in a hostel in Dublin. So she knows she's been on the receiving end of this government. So she's lost people in her family through whatever's going on in their lives. And it's, God love her, she's running for government, and I'm going to vote for her. But I think basically, you know, the Irish have a reputation around the world. Oh, the Irish will drink you under the table, blah, blah, blah. I've known people that have died through alcohol addiction, and I've known people who can, I can have a drink. I can not have a drink. You know, it doesn't bother me. I don't depend on it. I'm not dependent on it. I enjoy it. I enjoy a lot of friends. So, yeah.
There's not a family in this country that can't say that they're not linked or touched by some form of alcoholism somewhere.
Exactly.
And certainly in the 80s and 90s and up until the last decade even. I mean, it was really, really, you know, common in this country particularly. But these new numbers that came out from DrinkAware, they're quite encouraging. I mean, the new report reveals 37% of adults are actively trying to drink less, you know?
Right.
And 59% of people are drinking weekly. Now, I'm sure they want those numbers to come down, but 60% isn't bad. You know, if you look at our history and relationship with the drug.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, people look upon it as a drug, a high dependency on alcohol or whatever, you know. But the worst thing you can ever see in your life, I think, Gary, is people shaking in the morning, waiting to have the first drink. Like, one of the things that really upsets me, because I walk outdoors, is seeing people waiting outside an off-license at 10:30 in the morning, or waiting outside a shop for the off-license sections to open so they can get a drink to settle their nerves. That's horrific. That's people that have a problem. And it's widespread.
Yeah, it used to be a time when I worked in pubs that you'd be quite busy at lunchtime. You know, there'd be people coming in and drinking during the day in the pubs. I don't think that happens as much anymore. But as you say, it does happen with the off-licences. The off-licences do.
Pretty much so. But I'll tell you what we still have in Dublin, Gary. We still have the early houses that open up at 6:30.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're still there on the queues. I've seen the people waiting outside the early house getting a fucking... Like years ago when I was a young fella, right? I'll give you an example. We'd be out on the Raz all night and we'd go into a club till 2 o'clock in the morning. And then we'd hang around town for a couple of hours and go into, say, somewhere to get something to eat. And then we're in the pub at 6:30. And then we're going over to another pub at 10:30 to get a bit of breakfast and carry on the gargling. And that's over, what, 40 years ago. So it hasn't got any better. But the only thing I don't like is when you go into the likes of Dublin City, and you see your city that you're proud of, that we fought for, and you see people in certain parts of areas charging Irish people and tourists €10 for a pint, they need to be closed down, because that's what's getting this country and this city a bad name. How can I go to a pub outside of Dublin and pay £5 for a pint of Guinness, and I go into the pub 2 minutes walk or 5 minutes walk from O'Connell Street and I'm charged €11?
Yeah, and then some, Maris. Yeah, plenty of people talk about that all the time. Stay on the line there, because I've got John here on line two. John, you say you've gone from socialising at home to getting hammered at home.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I know the last few years, 3 or 4 years, I'm in my 60s, but I'm divorced now, and... I live alone, just myself and the dog. But I found that, how can I put it? When you live alone, society in Ireland has gone from the pub to the home. My own doctor even said to me, because I'm continuously trying to avoid drink, to avoid sitting by myself at home. I only drink with a meal. It's kind of like a ritual where I would make a nice meal in the evening and I'd have to have the bottle of wine with it and maybe a beer or two. And it's just a habit. If I'm having a fry in the evening, I don't have any. I don't drink every evening, but I would drink every maybe second or third evening. But I know my friends, I know my doctor says it's an epidemic now, with especially with people middle-aged, and I'm in my 60s, that instead of going to the pub, they're drinking. I can buy a bottle of red wine for €8, and I can buy two bottles of strong beer, a foreign beer, for €2 each. So that's €12, and I have got 14 or 15 units of alcohol, and I can sit at home. Now, I don't have to drive a car. I can just sit in the kitchen like I am here at the moment, and I can have my meal, listen to Niall and talk shite to him, and get hammered, and then just walk up the stairs and get into bed. And the following morning, I'm fucking hungover, and it takes a couple of days to recover, and the same thing. It's a continuous... It's a kind of a new lifestyle, and I'm not alone. So an awful amount of the country has taken this on, basically because it's so cheap. For €12, you can have a good drink at home, or for €15, you wouldn't buy 3 pints in a pub for that. But when you're in a pub, you're socialising, you're meeting people, you're talking to people. When you're at home, you're mentally wrecking yourself. It's not just about the drink. It's about sitting, drinking and talking shite to your fucking dog. That's what you're basically doing.
Talking to the dog. And thinking, though, John. You're overthinking, so it's not really great for the mental health either, is it?
It is a disaster. My mental health has gone out the window. No. I go for walks, I swim, I do all sorts of things, but still at night time, it's like as if I'm in... It's like a tradition to me now. It's kind of like, this is what I have to do at night because I'm not working now. I'll be 65 now in January and I'm by myself. And alcohol wrecked our marriage. My other half, she went through an awful binge for 10 years and we just had to... She wanted to call it a day because, no, she's great. She's fabulous. She was able to stop. And when she stopped, I started. It's crazy, I know, but I just found that when I was 40 years, we were over 40 years together, and then when I found myself in a house by myself, now I don't have a mortgage or anything like that, so I try to look after myself, but I know so many people, so many people in the country that go to the supermarket and they get their bottles of wine and they get their bottles of gin and they just sit at home and no one knows about it except their doctor because the doctors have to try and put it all together.
John, you're not alone though, because drinking at home alone now is the most common drinking occasion according to Drink Aware. You're not alone at all.
It's an epidemic. My own doctor told my GP because I've gone to AA, I've got counsellors, and I've gone off it for 6 months, and I've gone off it for weeks, and I go off it, and I go back on it. I wouldn't be class myself as a heavy, like, I don't drink every day of the week. I might drink 3 or 4 days a week. Sometimes I might drink 3 days a week, and I don't get hammered, like, you know, but I will get tipsy. But it's just a way of passing the night. It's kind of like but I know the day that if I don't drink, the following day is great. And then the day I do drink, or the night that I do drink, the following day is crap. Because it brings on the depression and the whole lot. Our whole country is going down the tube with regards to alcohol. And I don't know, even if I went to the pub, and it would be way, way better.
And why don't you, John? Why don't you go down to the local?
Because I'm set in my ways now. I'm only a few years now living in where I am, and I should go to the local. I should get out of the house, but I don't. I'm here by myself tonight. I'll be Monday to Thursday. When Niall is on, I sit and I 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock. I make a nice meal, a really nice meal, and a good meal. You know, fresh vegetables, the whole lot. And I'll open the bottle of wine, and at 10 to 9 or 9 o'clock, Niall will come on, and I'll have the meal finished, and then I'll start talking, ringing Niall up and talking shite to either Niall or the girls. And that's basically, it's tradition. It's just the way of depression and everything else.
Do you think it's a bit of loneliness, John?
Oh, yeah, it is. And I have loads of kids and everything else, but the last 3 years they're big now, and they live with, like, I still talk to my ex, and she only lives two kilometers away. She has a house. We sold our house, and we got enough for our main house to buy two small houses, and we're mortgage free and everything else, so we're good. And she's very good now. She's sorted herself out, but I lost my job after that. Well, my contract finished up, and I'm not going to go back working at 64 now, and aches and pains. I can't see myself wanting to go back to work. So it's, and I know there's thousands in the country worse than me, you know? People that we don't know about that are lonely, they're in their houses, and all they do is they go to the off licenses, they go to they go to different supermarkets and they get their beer, and it's because it's so expensive, like you couldn't afford, like.
And I think John, as well, there's a little bit of drinking at home used to have a stigma attached to it, and then with the lockdowns during COVID, that stigma sort of lifted a bit because everybody was doing it. I mean, you had no choice but to do it, so therefore it became more acceptable to have that bottle of wine on a Thursday night or whatever, because there was nothing else to do.
Yeah, but now nobody knows. You don't know that your next door neighbour is drinking 10 bottles of wine a week.
No, you don't. You
know, when you're in the house, you go to a pub and you drink too much, everybody's, the whole neighbourhood is saying, geez, did you see the station, your man the last night at the pub? We had to carry him out. But if you were at home, bottling around the place, nobody knows. My neighbours don't know I drink. Well, they do every now and again. They pick up out the garden. That's just a joke. And not that bad.
All joking aside, though, John, I hope you figure that one out, because just for the health and for the mental health reasons alone, the come down after a bottle of wine isn't great.
My doctor told me I need to stop drinking, get a girlfriend, and live life.
There you go.
So maybe that's the solution. Maybe it's that I'm by myself, and that I just have like. Tonight, no, I've had a bottle of wine already tonight, you know. I've had a bottle of red wine, and I've had my mashed potatoes and pork chops and the whole lot, and I'm just chilling out and listening to yourselves talking about everything, and that's what I do Mondays and Thursday. Now, I don't have it every night. As I say, tomorrow night I won't drink. I'll walk the dog or whatever I do. The next night, then, I'll feel good again, and I will drink, you know. But as I say, it's an epidemic in the country. I think it was 900 and something million bottles of wine were sold in Ireland last year. 940 million or something.
It's great, and as I said, this study says the same thing. It's the most common drinking occasion. Stay there, John, because I want to get Joe in before I head to the news. Joe, I have you on line too. You don't go out because good evening to you. You don't go out because everywhere's packed.
Well, I don't drink. I haven't drunk now for about 15 years because, as I say, I had a lot of issues with mental health, which I still do, you know. I'm okay, but I'm on a lot of medication. So I was given the option from my doctor many, many years ago that if I wanted to continue drinking, I would have been in an early grave by the time I was 50. So I am 50 now, and luckily enough, I'm in good health. You know, I do have asthmatic problems and stuff, but I'm okay. I'm able to get around and do things. But if I was drinking now, Gary, the way I was drinking 20 years ago, I wouldn't be talking to you tonight because I was very addicted with drink. I was in a session with friends of mine years ago and I could have been drinking up to 12 or 13 pints a go. You know, now you might think that's a lot, but you might think, well, that could be small. But it's still a lot, like, you know, because if you have more than 5 or 6 pints, that's when you really do get tipsy and so on like that, you know.
That would knock me out, Joe, 12 or 13 pints. Would knock me out. Yeah. Did you find it hard to knock it on the head?
Well, at the time, I was going through a lot of issues, and luckily my father, I buried my father there back in 2006. I was looking after him for nearly more than 30 years, you know. He hadn't been well. And, you know, fair play, I kept on looking after him up to the time he died. But unfortunately, when he passed away, my mental health started to go down a bit. So I started getting fond of the drink too often. And then along with that then, I was getting agitated and grumpy and aggressive. In fact, if I was talking to you with drink though, I don't think I'd be allowed on the radio station. I would be abusive.
Yeah.
But luckily, I'm off that now, and I've learned a lot of the hard ways of life, that if you want to get on in life, don't be drinking unless you know what you're doing. I wouldn't go near drink now. I'm off it now since 2009, and I'm happy enough to be off it because I'm on a lot of medication to see. And if I, as I said to you there, like, medication and drink don't work. you know.
Yeah, no. They're not happy bedfellows at all, are they?
And the sad thing about it is there is a lot of people out there who are drinking and taking medication, but they're also taking illegal substances as well, which I have seen very much often, you know, and it's kind of an ongoing event in the last couple of years, probably since the COVID lockdowns, which destroyed this country and destroyed the people in general, have turned people against one another. Like years ago, you couldn't even talk to your own neighbour, or you could talk to anybody. But nowadays, you talk to people and they'd run away from you.
They think
you're an alien or something.
I hear you. But I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut it short there. We've talked about it for a lot of time now. My thanks to everyone who called in on that one.
Thanks, Gary.
Hey, Joe, and just before you go, I just want to say I'm sorry to hear about your father.
Oh, no problem, no. He died in 2006. He had been suffering with heart failure for nearly 20 years. But he was in good... He lived till he was 81. So he was in good... He was a good age.
Yeah.
But for the heart problems he had, and he had a lot of bleeding ulcers and stuff like that, he could have lived even longer. But that's just the way it goes, you know.
I hear you, John. Yeah. Well, listen, thanks anyway.
You'll always remember him.
Oh, you only get one mum and dad. Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, I pray to him 3 or 4 times a day, and I visit their grave every couple of weeks, I do.
Well, keep that up, because they're watching over you. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, indeed.
Thanks, Joe.
And
appreciate
thanks again,
it.
Gary.
Good night to you.
Thank you.
All right, Gary.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.